Well, good morning. I'll invite everyone in the Fellowship Hall in Northex to join us. Let's look in the back of the bulletin. We've got a number of announcements. Welcome, everyone. I said good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the recording of the sermon as Amy was preparing to send it out. And at 10:30 in the morning, I said, good afternoon, everyone. I'm getting old, folks. I'm getting old. I am old. I've gotten old. I am old. This afternoon, we'll be leading worship at the Care Center. Carol, will you be playing? Okay. That's at 2:30. We invite anyone to join us who might want to do that. We're having a session meeting this Thursday night, and I promised that we would try to meet a little closer. We've been meeting here at the church lately. We'll be meeting in Union. So, brother elders, be aware of that. If anyone has any matters you want to bring to our attention, you could either let us know. You're welcome to come and join us. That's at the library in Union. And then a couple other announcements there. Today is Alex's last day with us. It's been a joyful time for us, I trust also for you, Alex, and we'll miss you. And we hope to continue to see some of your family even after you leave us. It's been a joy to get to know them and to worship with so many of them as well in these last weeks. And then I want to remind you, officer nominations are open through the month of August. So if you would have any man that you believe is qualified to be able to stand for consideration to the office of elder or deacon, we invite you to make those nominations. Do that in writing, please, to our clerk of session, Rich Schmidt. Any other announcements? All right, let's prepare our minds to worship the Lord, giving thanks that Christ has come.
Christ is
crucified.
Christ is risen from the dead.
Christ is coming again.
Hallelujah.
Hear now, as our covenant God calls us to praise him and to worship him this morning, from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Beloved, we are here today because in him we have heard the word of truth. We have been saved through the gospel. And that is why we are here, and that is why our hearts have responded to come here. And so let us also rise and respond to this call of worship with the two songs printed in your bulletin. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you that you have given us the privilege, the authority to call ourselves sons of God. As we heard in the call to worship, Lord, you have predestined us for this and you have adopted us out of the overflow of your love. And we thank you from the depths of our heart for that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as we heard this morning in the Sunday school lesson, that in your life you have earned our righteousness and you have given us this righteousness to clothe ourselves in, and it is now our very own. And that is why we are able to stand before you here today with joy, knowing that the Father delights in us, knowing that the Father loves us because he sees us as he sees you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You have said, seek my face, as the psalmist says. And Lord, you have, Holy Spirit, you have put that in our heart. And as a result of that, we come here and we say, your face, Lord, do I seek. And so, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing to redeem us, continuing to renew us, continuing to stir up our hearts to love you. And so, Lord, we ask that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would be praised here this morning. Receive our affections, receive our love this morning, and receive our praises that which flow out of these things. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would continue to be present here in this service. We look forward to you using the message this morning to feed our faith, to strengthen us in the weariness of this flesh. And we ask these things, and we know that we will receive them because we have a high priest in heaven. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to take up our praise, take up our prayers here this morning, and that through your merits, you would listen to our prayers. And Holy Spirit, would you do these things through the merits of Jesus Christ? Amen. Please be seated. Hear now God's invitation to us from Hebrews chapter 3 to abide more fully in him. We know that often we go astray, but God is inviting us this morning through his word to return to him. Hear now the Lord's word from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And so let's acknowledge that often we do grow weary, often we do go astray. But the Lord's inviting us to come back and to abide in him. And so let's corporately confess our sins with the prayer listed in the bulletin. Lord Jesus, you call us to abide in you. You invite us to do that, for apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, we confess that we often neglect this most basic aspect of the Christian life. We are to be our first thought, our first thing, but we acknowledge that too often our hearts are far from you, and that the things of this world seem to hold greater control of our hearts' affections than you do. Lord, we repent. Father, your word tells us that you have joined us through faith to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. Lord, through your Spirit, help us to more consistently set our minds upon you and to desire you above all else. Continue to draw our hearts to you, we pray, for we have no hope outside of you. As we abide in Jesus, you promise to give us joy and to produce abundant fruit in us. Do this for your glory and our good, we pray. Amen. And now let us take a few moments and analyze our life, see where perhaps we have fallen short, and confess our sins and entrust ourselves into the hands of our Savior more.
And now be encouraged again by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And as men and women, boys and girls who have done that, who have experienced the grace and mercy and help of our Lord Jesus, let's stand and praise him for being the God who gives that to us. Let's stand and sing. seated.
Let's pray. Lord God, if only there was someone who could direct us. It's almost as if we need a counselor in our lives, a guide, a friend to come alongside to show us the way. We thank you that you are that for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask with that you would provide wisdom and direction and counsel to her as she has offered to provide counsel to another person in her life, someone in the community, someone who confesses that they have much confusion in their life, much sorrow, aimlessness. This person doesn't necessarily claim to be a Christian. Help her to see the folly of wanting to pick and choose what is true and to what she should submit her understanding to. Lord, help us deliver each of us from our folly. For maybe not in the same way, but in other ways, we may go through the week in not dissimilar ways than this person does, where we want to pick and choose, where we will invite you to be king in our lives. May we submit fully to your lordship, to your leading. May we trust you that your way is best for us, and that being with you rather than being apart and following the desires of the flesh or the desires of the world, being with you and living in the life that you call us to is the best way for us to go. We do pray for healing and wisdom. We thank you that you've returned them safely to us from a time that was a bit of a shorter amount of time than they were planning. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and give them joy and rest and pleasant experiences in these weeks, extra weeks that they have here in Missouri and among us, that they were hoping to find in. Lord, we thank you for the report of her neighbor that she's endured the surgery that she had this week. We pray that you would continue to heal her. We pray for safe travels for Alex. Bless his studies, Lord, and give him joy in this remaining time that he has here, and then grant him joy as he returns to his full-time seminary studies. And Lord, I pray that you would protect his day today as he prepares to proclaim your word in the pulpit of his home church this evening. Bless the preaching, the faithful preaching of your word, Lord. We ask your blessing upon Father as he, I believe, may be traveling back to today or tomorrow. We thank you for that visit that we've had with him. We also ask your blessing upon they are in. We pray that you would bless their business and that you would also see them safely back home to us. Lord, we pray along with for her sister. We pray that you would protect her from the infections that she's experienced and that you would make her living situation a safe one and that you would give her good wisdom and discernment as to whether she should stay in that present location or seek to live elsewhere. But Lord, bring her healing. Heal her and us all in every way that she and we still yet need to be healed. And Lord, we pray a similar prayer for family member, Lord. Lead them into shalom and into life everlasting. Lord, we thank you for restoring health, and we thank you for the love and ministry that these are offering to him. Showing forth how you are a father to us, Lord, and you invite us to be a father to the fatherless as well. Lord, may we be encouraged by their example. How might we be able to serve those at risk, Lord, both as a church and individually? We thank you that she is able to be with us today, a last Sunday before she returns to, and we pray that she will enjoy these last days that she has with her mom and dad and friends here locally, be with as they spend time this weekend with, see them all safely home as well. Lord, we thank you for worshiping with us, friend. And again, friends and family members as well. Lord, for all these things, we pray that you would bless us and grant our prayers according to your will. Lord, we continue to pray now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take a few minutes now and greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, I invite you all to find your way back to your seats. Let's continue to worship the Lord now with our tithes and offerings. Encouraged to be generous with the example of the Lord Jesus that he gives us. From 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Stand and give thanks to the Lord for his blessings. Amen. Thanks, George. Be seated. And I'll invite you now to either turn in your Bibles to John 15, or you can also look in your worship bulletin at this passage that I have printed out for you there. You might recall that as we began this year, I shared with you that I was hoping for us to have a bit of a focus this year upon the biblical concept and practice of abiding in Christ. And to that end, we spent 4 Sundays in January looking at this passage from John 15, where Jesus invites his disciples, and he also invites us to abide in him, to abide in his love, to abide in his joy. And that aspect, that invitation to abide, is actually one of the things that contributed to me to selecting the book of Jonah to study with you over the course of these last several months. And I hope that time in Jonah has been instructive to you, and that it still can be instructive to us even today. Because Jonah gives us a really good picture, I think, of what can happen when a person fails to accept the Lord's invitation to abide in him. And so for our time together this morning, I thought that we might lay alongside of one another the book of Jonah and the Lord's invitation to abide in him that we have in John 15. So remembering what we've learned about Jonah in these last months, let's now read these verses that we have from John 15. This will be verses 1 through 17. Let's turn our attention again to the reading of God's holy, living, and inerrant word. I want to encourage you to keep this passage in front of you throughout our time together this morning. John records Jesus telling his disciples the night before he would go to the cross to pay the penalty for their sins and for ours. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is God's word for you today. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Pray with me again. Lord, we thank you for your enduring word. And Lord, we now ask you to give us a special measure of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we would rightly understand and apply this portion of your word, Lord, so that we would endure and so that we would abide more fully in you. This is our prayer. Amen. So some questions to guide our time together this morning are: what can we learn from Jonah about abiding in the Lord? And what can we learn about the heart of God who pursued Jonah as he ran from him? In this passage, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. And then in verse 3, he says, already you are clean. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And that brings us back to Jonah right away. In Jonah 1:1, we're told, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Christ here in John 15 says that God's word is intended to have a cleansing effect upon us, a transforming effect. God's words intended to cleanse us and to conform us to the will of God. But Jonah refused and rebelled against that purpose of God's word. God said, go east to Nineveh, but Jonah went west to Tarshish. And there's a warning for us here. There are many warnings for us in this book of Jonah. Because here's what we have to understand. We can hear God's word without allowing God's word to change us. We can read scripture for information, but we choose not to apply ourselves to transformation. We can know what God says while resisting what God wants. But God's word isn't just a set of facts about him. But the word's one of the Lord's primary instruments for conforming us into his image and to his will. And that conforming effect occurs as we abide in him, as we abide in his word, and as we allow God's word to abide in us. Scripture calls upon us to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. And we submit our understanding of the world and of ourselves to God's clearly declared will that's revealed in his word. And so a question for us is, are we abiding in the word of God like that? And is God's word abiding in us? And is it having that conforming, transforming, cleansing effect? Jesus continues in verse 4, inviting us, abide in me and I in you. And here we see the connectedness that the Lord desires of us and for us. But Jonah rebelled against the Lord's desire for that connectedness. And Jonah sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. And do you see how fleeing from the presence of the Lord is the exact opposite of abiding in him? Jonah fled from the Lord's calling on his life, and he attempted even to flee from the very presence of the Lord. And so for us, in what ways might we, because we all have ways that we do, in what ways might you and I seek to flee from the Lord or flee from the callings that he's placed upon your life rather than to abide in him and to abide in those callings that he's given to us clearly in his word? Look at these verses again, and look at verses 2 through 5. And look at how often it is that Christ speaks of bearing fruit. 5 times in these first 4 verses, he makes specific reference. He talks about this. And there are other occasions where he's talking about it, even though he doesn't use that word. But in these verses, Christ is consistently presenting that goal of our bearing much fruit. And he relates fruitfulness to abiding. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. A week or two ago, as I was talking with Alex about this passage and about looking at John 15 in relation to Jonah, he pointed out that on those occasions in the book of Jonah where we do see Jonah abide in his calling as a prophet, we see God producing fruit in those occasions. On the boat during the storm, Jonah proclaimed that he was a Hebrew, that he feared the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. And after declaring this about the Lord, the sailors embraced the Lord in faith. And then when Jonah finally did go to Nineveh and he preached the word that the Lord had given him, to the people of Nineveh repented, 120,000 of them, and trusted in God. Great fruit was produced when Jonah abided in his calling, when he ceased his running from the Lord, and he embraced that calling that the Lord had given him. The Lord was pleased to enable much fruit to be produced, even by using this reluctant prophet. And in a similar way, we can trust that the Lord can and will produce much fruit in us and through us as we accept his invitation to abide in him and to abide in his will and in his callings on our lives. Look at verse 6, if you would, please. And here the Lord issues a stark warning. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Here we see that it would have been right for the Lord to bring judgment upon Jonah because of his disobedience. But because he's a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as Jonah himself declared in Jonah 4:2, in his mercy, the Lord didn't treat Jonah as he would have been right to. And that should serve as a corrective and as an encouragement for us as well. Why would we ever want to flee from a God like this? Why would we ever want to be as far away as we can get from a God who is so loving and gracious and merciful and kind? Brothers and sisters, may it never be so for us. But may it always be our heart's desire, rather than to flee, to be near to the Lord and to abide in and with this God and his love, rather than fleeing from him. Look at verse 7, please. There Christ says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Here we see yet more mercy and grace from the Lord to Jonah. Do you remember Jonah's request of the Lord in chapter 4? In his sinful anger, Jonah prayed that he would die. He was so angry he wanted to die. But God didn't grant that request. And why? Because the Lord wasn't done with Jonah yet. Jonah's death at that time wasn't God's will. Jonah wanted his circumstances changed, but God wanted to change Jonah. And that's true of us as well. We might pray to the Lord, Lord, change the situation that I'm in. But God says, no, my child, I desire to change you through this circumstance. We might pray, Lord, change that difficult person. But the Lord says to us, child, I desire to change you into a person of greater love and patience towards that person. We might cry out, Lord, take away this trial. But the Father says, no, child, I'm pruning you through this trial. Trusting in the Lord's wise providence and necessary pruning is an important part of our abiding in him. Now, if you would look at verse 8, please. There Christ says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And here we see the Lord's intentions behind our abiding and our fruit producing. The glory of God and proving that we are among the redeemed of the Lord. Jonah's refusal to abide in God's love and will and the calling that the Lord had given him was working against the Lord receiving glory through the redemption of Nineveh. But God would not be denied. And ultimately, we even see that the Lord received even greater glory in his not only showing mercy and patience toward the Ninevites, but also to Jonah as well. Now look at verse 9, where Christ says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Jonah was most definitely not abiding in the love and character and personhood of the Lord. When he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord, his feet were simply revealing what had already happened in his heart. His heart had wandered from the Lord before his feet ever boarded that ship. Jonah's heart was already far from God long before he sought to flee from his presence in that way. What about you and I? Might your heart be wandering from the Lord in any way? Even though you're here in worship each Lord's day, and it's good that you are here. In those times when your faith is weak, in those times that you feel your heart wandering from the Lord, the best thing that you can do is to gather together with God's people and to hear His word proclaimed and to offer prayers or be present when others are praying for and with you and singing praises to the Lord or simply being in the presence of those who are singing to the Lord. Friends, don't let your hearts grow cold or hard against the Lord. Remember His kindness to the Ninevites. Remember His kindness, His patience towards Jonah. Remember His mercy and His grace and the loving kindness that He's shown you already in the person and work of His Son, Jesus. And ask Him to draw your heart more fully back to His. Ask Him to enable you to abide in Him. In verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." Now, we understand that Scripture shows us clearly that obedience doesn't earn God's favor, but knowing the love of God is fuel for our obedience. Jonah's disobedience, especially his desire to flee from the very presence of the Lord, reveals that although he was redeemed, he wasn't having a present experience of enjoying his relationship with the Lord, and that he most likely hadn't been abiding in God's love when the word and calling of the Lord came to him. Verse 10 of John 15, Christ tells us, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Clearly, Jonah had become a stranger to the joy of the Lord. What about you? Do you have a present joy in and for the Lord? Is your heart still warm to Him? Do you have a present sense of abiding in the love of the Lord? If not, friends, ask Him to give that to you. Because I want to tell you, that's a prayer that He delights to grant. But be sure to ask Him also of what kind of disobedience or wrong thinking of Him or yourself or the world that you might have to repent of in ways like Jonah needed to, in ways like we all do. Then in verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The great commandment tells us that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Jonah didn't see the Ninevites as his neighbors, and he certainly didn't have any love for them. But we learn from Jesus in the parable of the Good Samaritan that even those whom we may think of as being our enemy, God wants us to see them as our neighbor, and of people deserving our love and mercy. That's how the Lord wanted Jonah to see the Ninevites. Who might the Lord want you to see in that way, rather than in a sinful way that we might see them right now? Expanding upon this concept of love, Christ in verse 13 tells us, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Christ, of course, laid down his life for us. Jonah wasn't as willing as he should have been to be willing to go to the Ninevites. Although we should acknowledge that Jonah was willing to give his life in exchange for the sailors in the midst of the storm of chapter 1. But I wonder, was Jonah offering for his life to be snuffed out by being thrown overboard? Was that so much that the others could live, or so that he could simply escape his misery? Jonah was reluctant in submitting to God's call, but Christ was quick to embrace the call of his Father, and he willingly laid down his life for the sake of others. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but Christ willingly went to Jerusalem and to the cross. Jonah wanted the Ninevites to receive judgment. Christ bore the judgment that we and the Ninevites and Jonah deserved. Jonah resented God's mercy for others, but Christ purchased mercy. Jonah wanted his enemies to perish, but Christ died so that his enemies could become his friends. And that's why Christ and not Jonah is our model. And more importantly than that, Christ is our Savior. In verse 14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." With that, we have to ask the question, does Jonah show himself to be a friend of God in his disobedience and his hard-heartedness to the Lord? Of course not. But let's also be willing to ask that same question of ourselves. Do we show ourselves to be friends of the Lord in the way in which he calls us to, through our obedience? Now, in just a minute, we'll conclude the message. And before we do, I think it's important that we should be willing to give Jonah a bit of a break. It's true, Jonah was a knucklehead. And although he was a prophet of God, we should recognize that his knowledge of the heart of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit wasn't to the degree that the Lord has revealed himself to us on this side of the cross and this side of the earthly ministry of Jesus. And although the Spirit of God would have been active in Jonah's life, the fullness of the Spirit hadn't yet been poured out on all of God's people as it has been in our day. In Matthew 13:17, Jesus speaks about the realities of the Old Testament saints and the disadvantage that they had compared to us when Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." Jonah was at a disadvantage compared to us because he didn't know the heart of God the Father like we do. Jonah didn't receive the instruction that we have in the Gospels. And Jonah didn't have the fuller explanation of what it means to be a God follower like we have in the New Testament epistles. Jonah didn't see the heart of the Father perfectly demonstrated through the life and love and explanation of Jesus that we have. Jonah didn't hear the parable of the prodigal son like we have. If he did in his better moments, I suspect that Jonah would have been able to see himself in both of the sons, both the younger son who fled from his father's presence, as well as the older son who stayed near physically to his father, but whose heart was still far from him. That older brother who became angry when mercy was extended to his brother, whom he didn't think was deserving of receiving the radical welcome that the father had offered him when he returned. Jonah didn't know those things. He didn't know the Lord in these ways. But we do. We know the heart of the Father. And we know His Son. And we possess the Spirit of God given to us. And because of that, we can abide. And we can trust in this gracious, merciful, loving God who is our Father through Jesus Christ. And we can trust in the person and work of His Son who invites us and who causes us to remain connected to Him like branches to a vine. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, we can allow His Word to do that cleansing, conforming work in our lives. Because we know the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in this way, we can receive and submit to the pruning activity of this good and gracious and kind Father in our lives. And we can pray according to His will. And with His enablement, we can bear much fruit for the Father's glory. And also with His enablement, we can love our neighbors, even those whom we may see as our enemies. We can abide in Christ. We can go directly to Christ. We can ask Him to continue His renewing and keeping work in us. And we can look to Him to keep us connected to Him. Because He is the true vine. And we are the branches. And our ongoing dependence upon Him isn't something that we accomplish only through our own efforts. But we're united to Him. We're caused to abide in Him and He in us through the Spirit of Christ, whom the Father and the Son have given to us. Pray with me again, please. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You abide in us. Through Your Spirit, enable us to always abide in You. And Lord, whenever our hearts might be drifting away from You, win them back to You, Lord, we pray, through the Spirit's work in our life. This is our prayer. Be glorified, Lord, we pray. Amen. We're remembering our call to live for the glory of Christ and to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord. Let's stand and we'll sing as our closing hymn, O Church, Arise, asking the Lord to continue His redeeming work in our lives and to bring many people to a saving knowledge of Him through our witness.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.